after the 1 o'clock hour. Good afternoon. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Hot topics, of course, this college football conference madness, realignment madness, all that and more. What could it mean? We've talked a lot about what it can mean locally, you know, for the teams we talk about. And now to talk specifics on another team we chat about is the Colorado Buffaloes. Brian Howell joining me, the Buffs beat writer for Buff Zone and the Boulder Daily Camera. Brian, my man, it's just absolute chaos, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know how anybody's keeping up with all the changes in college sports, and especially college football over the last, year or two? It's been crazy.
No, no doubt about it. And now, you know, we knew with OU and Texas what that was going to potentially mean, that conferences were going to get aggressive one way or the other. Well, and then you see the news with the Pac-12, with USC and UCLA, and what that's going to mean. That happened so fast, too. I was talking about it in the first hour. It's like, you know, these kind of stories used to pop up, and it would take weeks, months, and then we'd go, okay, it happened. This is like within a day or two with the UCLA-USC situation.
Well, I think the most impressive thing about it is that it didn't leak. You know, in this day and age, how often do we see it? That's why we see those things take weeks, because somebody leaks it. But nobody leaked this at all. So it was just stunning to come out. All of a sudden, it was a leak the morning of, and a few hours later, it was official. So that's what made it so stunning. But, it was stunning news. And, you know, for those two schools, I mean, they've been the flagship of the Pac-12 for, you know, a century, you know. And for them to leave really, you know, damages the Pac-12 and puts a lot of teams, including Colorado, kind of in limbo about what's going on next.
Well, and a story you shared from CBSSports.com, Big 12 and deep discussions to add up to six Pac-12 teams. The Buffs are in that list. I mean, up to six teams. I'm looking at it going, all right, UCLA's gone, USC's gone, add six more. Okay, who's left? I mean, you got Oregon in the mix, Arizona in the mix, CU in the mix, Washington in the mix. I mean, this is the Pac-12 even going to be a thing in the next year, Brian?
I have no idea. You know, there's so many scenarios that's been thrown out, and one of them is the teams. You know, some of these teams going to the Big 12, there's scenarios of, could the Pac-12 take some of the Big 12 teams? I've seen, you know, scenario of the Pac-12 and the ACC, you know, getting together, you know, which, you know, talking about coast to coast, you know, you literally have, you know, teams on both coasts. But there's a little of everything, you know, that are possibilities, and everything is on the table right now. And really, the main point that, you know, a lot of people that follow this closer than I do, the national writers, they keep saying the main thing that's going to drive it is ESPN and Fox.
Right.
It's kind of whatever they want, you know. Whatever they want, whatever's going to make the most money for them, that's what's going to, you know, happen. That's what the conferences are going to be.
What's your take on the Mountain West situation, too? Because, I mean, again, you talk about making sense, you know, as far as geographically. I mean, there's, you know, Boise State's in that mix, too. We've kind of talked about, I've seen different variations of stories there where maybe they absorb one another and they become a monster conference of some kind. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I think that as far as I'm concerned, when you look at the scenarios, that's not one that's talked about as much. And I think that that's probably, you know, a last case scenario for the Pac-12. You know, I think that, you know, unfortunately, it's just reality, and it's not meant to demean anybody in the Mountain West, but there's those schools did not bring much value. When we're talking about ESPN wanting to increase its value and get the most out of it, those schools don't bring a lot, you know. And the best team in the Mountain West, football-wise, over the years has been Boise State, but they're in a small market, right? And they've got 500,000 people in Boise, and so it's a small market. They don't bring a ton of money, a lot of, you know, marketability to a power conference when the Pac-12's trying to stay a power conference, right? You know, and really the only two teams on the West left that have much value are Oregon and Washington. So that's kind of the key to whatever happens with the Pac-12, and then ultimately kind of what happens with the Mountain West.
We're talking to Brian Howell of Buff Zone. Brian, how likely is it then individually, if you just look at the teams, that CU does become a Big 12 team?
I think it's pretty likely. To me, I don't know why it makes much sense for CU to stay in the Pac-12 without L.A. That was a big thing for them going to the Pac-12 was, you know, Mike Bone was the athletic director of CU that led him to the Pac-12, and ironically, he's the one that could lead him out of it.
Weird.
And indirectly, now that he's the AD at USC. But, you know, he wanted to make sure that they were in the same conference as UCLA and USC so that the Buffs could go to L.A. frequently and get in front of recruits, get in front of alumni that are out there. Now, with Los Angeles out of the picture, there's not much need for CU to be in the Pac-12. I think geographically, it makes more sense to be in the Big 12. But as we know, geographically doesn't seem to matter as much right now. So, you know, but I think it's pretty, I guess if I had to put money on it, I would guess the Buffs wind up in the Big 12 eventually.
Okay, so we're talking about putting money places. I mean, if you had to guess, is the Pac-12 even a conference in the next, let's just give a number, next 3-4 years?
Yes, but I don't think it's going to be the same. I could see a situation where the Pac-12 name stays, but the teams are totally different. You know, we kind of see the same thing like in the WAC, right? Remember when CSU, BYU, and all the teams were the WAC? But the WAC is still a conference, but it's none of those teams.
Right.
Right? I could see a situation where, you know, the Pac-12 name is still there, but it might be kind of like a Mountain West type team.
Brian, where do you think, I mean, obviously, and rightfully so, we're going after Larry Scott. We're talking about the demise of the Pac-12 that started with him. Give me a couple of just those key, I mean, the TV contracts, that's what it's all about. Seems like he botched every opportunity that might have come his way. But specifically, when you look at it, maybe two or three bullet points, where did he go the most wrong in this situation?
Yeah, I think it seems to me like one of the biggest things, maybe the biggest thing, was how long the TV rights deal was that he negotiated. And it was like I should know this off the top of my head, but I don't. I think it was a 12-year deal.
Yeah, you're right. I think it was 12.
Yeah, and it goes through 2024. And that put the Pac-12 behind everybody. I mean, you know, almost everybody else has already renegotiated deals. The Pac-12 is left behind. And it's caused these teams to have less money. You know, if it was like an 8-year deal, and the Pac-12 would have negotiated several years ago, then they've got a bigger piece of the pie. Now you don't have USC and UCLA leaving. So, in theory, anyway. And I think that's the biggest thing, is there wasn't enough done there. I think that, you know, the holding on to, you know, hey, we have our own network, we're keeping our own brand, and he really emphasized the Olympic sports a lot with that. And I love those sports. There's a lot of, you know, great people to do those sports, but that's not where the money is, and that's not what's going to keep the conference together. I think the emphasis on that was misguided as well. There had to be more emphasis on football.
I mean, that's it. I mean, you're exactly right. We can talk till we're blue in the face about the other sports. Heck, even men's basketball, which is second, but still, yep, it doesn't come close to driving what football does. And if you, as a conference, do not get that, or as a conference commissioner, you've already lost the battle. If you're trying to win some kind of, you know, all the teams are equal award, you're going to lose because the money speaks.
Yeah, and we're seeing that. I mean, with USC and UCLA going to the Big Ten, it hurts all those Olympic sports. I mean, it makes zero sense for, you know, UCLA baseball to go play Rutgers, right? They should be playing Arizona and teams like that. So, you know, USC soccer, you know, should be playing Colorado and not, you know, Minnesota, things like that. So it's going to hurt those teams, but they don't care. It's all about football. It's all about money. And, you know, Larry Scott didn't see that. And you know, that's kind of why we're sitting here right now with this conference where it is and why Larry Scott's not with the Pac-12 anymore.
Last one for you, Brian. If you had to take another guess here, I mean, are we talking potentially, I mean, before the season starts, will we know whether or not CU remains in the Pac-12 or will be a Big 12 team in the next, what, year or two? Do you think we're going to get that done as quickly as we got the UCLA-USC deal done?
Yeah, I'd be surprised if it drags out too long. You know, Pac-12 Media Day, I'm scheduled to go out there in about 3.5 weeks.
That'll be
fun. At the end of July. And yeah, that's going to be, you know, quite a day. I would be surprised if some of that speculation is still going on even then. I mean, I would not be surprised at all if that's done before then. You know, it happened quickly last year, but after Texas and OU left, I think it was about 5 weeks later that the Big 12 announced the addition of BYU, Cincinnati, UCF, and Houston. So it did not take long for them to react. I don't think it's going to take long for this, especially with all of the news already coming out. I mean, there's already discussions being had. I think it's going to be quick.
I need a tracker of some sort, just a site where it tells me all of the changes. Because, yes, I can remember all the big teams that are moving. But once we start going with this, Brian, and it's like middle of the road to moving over here, I need some kind of a cheat sheet, a tracker. So if you get your hands on one, please feel free to shoot it over.
I'm at the point I don't want a tracker. Just leave me alone and let me know when it's all done. And
that's true. You know, just so I want to be able to look at the conferences and go, which team is where? And that's not going to tell us until they're all officially there. Because, I mean, some of these guys are moving in 2 years, a year, 3 years, whatever. So, we won't know fully how this is all going to shape out in the next year, at least.
Yeah, just let me know where CU is playing and I'll go. If I've got to go to Ames, if I have to go to Eugene, whatever, let me know.
Brian, we should try to get you, if you have time, when you go to Pac-12 Media Days, I would love to get your on-the-spot insight and reactions to what's going on there. By then, we're going to have a lot of changes, I'm sure, but I would love to get your thoughts.
Yeah, well, let's chat, closer to that and see if we can work that out.
There may not be a Pac-12 Media Day at that point in 3 weeks. We'll see. Brian, my man, appreciate you as always.
I've got a weekend in L.A. booked already, so I'm going no matter what.
Well, you can call us with updates on whatever you're doing, too. That's fine. We'll leave it open for you.
That works.
All right, my man. Brian, appreciate you. Love what you do. This is a fascinating topic. I don't know if it's a fun topic, but it's fun. It's fun for me because it's July 5th, and I don't want to talk about the Rockies losing. So this is actually good stuff.
Well, it keeps us busy during a not-so-busy time of year.
No doubt about it, my man. Brian Howell of Buff Zone. Our CU Buffs insider, he thinks it's probably going to happen that the Buffs and all those other teams that we mentioned, Arizona, Arizona State, Utah, Washington, Oregon, probably going to be in the Big 12 or Pac-12 or Big 12. They're going to be gone. So what's left, Jades? What is left when you look at the rest of it? So UCLA, USC gone. Probably CU. Arizona, Arizona State, Utah, gone. That is the entire south of the Pac-12. Oregon, Washington, the other two names in that mix, gone. That would leave Stanford, Cal, Oregon State, and Washington State. The Pac-12 is a pack of four. The lone wolf pack. Four teams. So unless the Pac-12 can get an aggressive TV deal signed, who's coming to this conference? Like, is going to the Pac-12, knowing it could be a sinking ship, but it's still a Power 5, is going there better than staying in the Mountain West? Now, what you want to know what's interesting, Jades. I have had four reporters on in the past two shows to talk about this topic. Kevin Lytle of the Colorado. We had Cody Tucker of 7220 Sports. We had Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs, and we had Brian Howell. Did you notice a theme in the conversations when I asked Kevin and Cody, who both covered the Mountain West, how realistic is it that Pac-12 teams look to grab some of those teams or vice versa? Both of them said, yeah, it's pretty realistic. When I asked Mark and Brian, no, the Mountain West has not been. And that's not a knock on those two guys. That is just how the Pac-12, that is how CU has advertised itself that no, the Mountain West where CSU is, no. That is not a realistic thing. And again, it's not a knock on those two guys. Amazing reporters and broadcasters. But the theme over the years has just been that the Mountain West is garbage. No, the Pac-12 wouldn't lower itself to that side of it, which, again, it's probably the truth. When I talk to Kevin and Cody, it might be more wishful thinking. Cody's with Wyoming. There's no wishful thinking there. They're not going anywhere. But the truth of this is, if you're a Mountain West fan thinking that the Pac-12 is going to go snatch up CSU, that's not going to be their first choice. As much as I would love that, although I do like the Mountain West, I would love for CSU to be a Power 5. That's good for me. It's good for my show. Good for ratings. Everybody wins. I don't think CSU would be a priority. Boise State, as good as they are in football, like the actual game of football, they don't have the draw. They are in a small market. So it just, it doesn't make sense. Now, but then you go, okay, well, which teams do make sense? Yeah, there's not a lot. There's a few teams that certainly could make sense. But when you look at, so I pulled up this story from College Football News talking about the teams that might be potential to the Pac-12. Temple, their enrollment is 32,000. Nevada, enrollment's 20,000. Media market, 104. Boise State sits at 9. They did their top 11 or whatever. Boise State at 9. UTSA at 8. They have an enrollment of 34,000. Alumni base, 126,000. Fresno State at 7. Memphis, makes sense, is at 6. East Carolina is at 5. And Colorado State comes in at number 4 on this list. Their enrollment is 28,962. Alumni base, 240,000. Their media market, 16. It does count as part of the Denver market. So you don't think that they're using that Denver thing. Was it Joe Parker at one point said, yeah, the airport's like 30 minutes away. Try an hour and 30 minutes away, depending on the traffic. So Colorado State sitting at 4. UNLV at 3. See, all these are Mountain West teams. San Diego State at 2. Then UCF at 1. Get ready. It's going to be nuts. It's going to be absolutely wacky. I need to get a list right now because I forgot half the teams that are moving and jumping ship. I know the big ones, the OUs, the Texases, the USC, the UCLA, but the BYUs and all, there's some other teams in the mix. We'll go over it. AFC West, who's going to be the best quarterback in 2022? Who's going to have the better year stats-wise, maybe success-wise? And boy, when I start breaking into the rosters in the depth charts, not that I didn't know that Devontae Adams was for the Raiders, but when you write it down on paper and go, wow, Devontae Adams, Hunter Renfro, DeMarcus Robinson, Darren Waller, Josh Jacobs, that's a good offense. Those are good weapons. Now, that's not talking about the O-line, just the weapons. The Chargers, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Everett, Austin Eckler. I mean, those guys are all great weapons as well. Then we get into the Chiefs. We'll get into that more coming up next. 23 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Get the insight you need before making that pick. Listen to Betting Across America with former Buff Mike Pritchard, weekdays at 2. I'm 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Thanks for being with us here today. It's crazy times when it comes to college football. This is why I always, the NFL is king for so many reasons, Jades. I grew up not a big college football fan. I was a fan. You know, I liked my local teams. But then the older I got, like in high school and college, then I was becoming more and more of a college football fan. But I was always, always NFL first. Now I'm kind of in the middle of the road now between, because I like a lot of college football. I mean, Saturdays, it's just fantastic. But the NFL doesn't get gimmicky, dude. Like, the NFL, NFC, AFC, your divisions within. The regular season's exciting, means everything. The playoffs are exciting, means everything. Name any other sport that gets it right the way the NFL does. You know, college football, season means a lot, but to only like 13 teams. There's only a few teams that actually have a shot to win your playoffs and go to the big bowl games. That's off. I mean, again, the teams that do go have the market, have the money, so it makes sense. But they just, there's just so many things that college football has done to hurt, and well, the NCAA in general, to hurt themselves over the years, and that's things we've been talking about over the last 2 years. NIL, transfer portal, conference realignment. It's just insane how wild, wild west this is. And not in a fun, popular, or a fun, exciting way. In a, oh, wow, we're getting ready to see a conference. For better or worse, there are Pac-12 fans is going to probably go up in smoke. Now, the NFL, on the other hand, they just get it right, man. They don't imagine if you could just be like Denver today. Oh, you know what? We don't want to be in the AFC West anymore. We're going to up and leave. This is why college football is getting more and more to feel like it's going to be a professional sport. And then you're just going to have to do away with that. No more jumping. You're here in the SEC. You're here until we tell you you're not. Like, what's going to happen? That's what I want to know. Are we going to see the SEC and the Big Ten just be their own thing? Still NCAA, still college sports, but it's a different league. Kind of like you have with the FBS and FCS. Do you have the SEC and the Big Ten, maybe even the Big 12, if they do get some of these Pac-12 teams? Do you get to a point where there's three monster conferences? And I don't even know if I'm ready to say that yet, because the Big 12's got to prove that they can recover from their losses. But seriously, looking over at the SEC and Big Ten, is that what it's going to be? Is just two monster conferences that are the FBS Division One, and then you have everybody else FBS Division One, Two. There's already different factions of college football. We already have that. So why? I mean, we could get to that point where it's like NFC, AFC, it's SEC, Big Ten, and then the rest is just whatever. We can still have fun with it, but they can't compete for the same playoff that the SEC and the Big Ten play for. That you have the SEC and you just have, I mean, like, you just have a ton of teams in there and you break them up like the NFL has done. You know, you get the SEC East, West, North, South, and it's four teams per each. Because, like, right now, you look at it, Georgia, Kentucky, Tennessee, Missouri, there's one. South Carolina, Florida, Vanderbilt, Alabama, there's another one. See, there's already two conferences or two divisions. Then you add in the OU, Texas. You're going to have enough to make these little mini divisions within the SEC. You may get there. And then they just play for their own playoffs. Who knows, man? But, I mean, the Pac-12, probably not going to be around. I said four teams. If this report from CBS is true, that the Big 12 is digging in deep to try to get six teams from the Pac-12, that would save their conference, certainly, I think. I would imagine an Oregon and a Washington paired mixed in with the CUs and Arizonas and Utahs would save the conference, because those are together a stronger conference. Then you'd have four left in the Pac-12. Either they get aggressive and start peeling teams away from lesser conferences, or it's done. You just don't have a Pac-12 anymore. Those teams have to figure out a different conference to go join. It's nuts, man. It's absolutely crazy. Let's go over to thewholeshow.com, our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Who will have the better season in 2022 between AFC West quarterbacks? Justin Herbert's dominating this vote now. 43% of the hooligans say Justin Herbert. Patrick Mahomes is next at 31%. Russell Wilson is at 18%. No one believes in Derek Carr. He's got 6%. Even though one could argue he has the best weapons in the West. Darren Waller, Josh Jacobs, Devontae Adams, and Hunter Renfro. There's a lot of numbers right there. Darren Waller had 665 yards as a tight end. Josh Jacobs couldn't stay healthy, and he still had 827. They all have weapons, though.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I think that the Hooligans have it right today. I think Justin Herbert's where he belongs. I mean, I've been saying this since him and Burrow entered the league. I think Herbert has a higher ceiling. We just haven't seen it yet. I think we've seen Burrow's ceiling.
Oh, really? You think Burrow's already at his ceiling?
I mean, it's hard to get better than what he was doing. I mean, there was times where it was on fire, but
he could be better. But yeah, I see what you're saying. It's you know, Patrick Mahomes, has he hit his ceiling? And that's not necessarily, we always think that's a negative connotation, but it's not. He's really good, and that's who he's going to be. We think Justin Herbert could get better. Can Patrick Mahomes get better than what he has already shown us? I don't know. I think he's just, like Steph Curry. Can he get better? Probably. He's one of the greatest to play, and he's right there in the mix. But can he get better? So I see what you're saying. Justin Herbert was the guy last year. He had 5,000 yards passing, 38 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. Those were the best numbers between AFC West quarterbacks, even comparing Russell Wilson's numbers from when he was in Seattle. Derek Carr had 4,800 yards, 23 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. Patrick Mahomes had 4,800 yards, but 37 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. So it was, in this order, it goes Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes, Derek Carr, then Russell Wilson, based on last year's numbers. Now, again, how many games did Russell miss? Did he miss two? Is that right? Did he miss two games? Or did he miss more than that? I don't remember how many he missed. But either way, his numbers weren't up there because, you know, yeah, he missed two. Well, three, I guess, because, right, 17 games. So he missed three games. So his numbers, by just missing three games, were nowhere near what Mahomes, Herbert, and Carr, who all played 17 games. So, in fairness, they didn't play. They did have their full seasons. You give three more games to Russell, or his numbers up a little more, probably. Probably closer to 4,000, but I don't think he gets where those guys are. 37 minutes after the hour. Jades, let's jump out of here real quick. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
We got our On the Rocks Liquor Game Beer of the Week. This one's from Breckenridge Brewing. Mountain Beach Sour. Pick up selections from Breckenridge or any of your favorite adult beverages. You can use the drive-through or pop inside there. They're open 9 a.m. until 10 p.m. every single day. Come on down. Stop by On the Rocks Liquor. Tell them we sent you. They've got their tastings going on every Friday. This one's from 4 to 7 at On the Rocks. The good folks from Heart Distilling in Windsor will be on hand for tastings. So you get a chance to, if you're in Greeley, try some of these places. See if you like their stuff. And who knows, maybe you'll find a new favorite. 42 minutes after the hour. Where does this leave the Chiefs? Is it my poll question is at thewholeshow.com. Who's going to have the better year between AFC West quarterbacks, Mahomes, Herbert, Derek Carr, or Russell Wilson? Do you really buy into Russell Wilson being the fourth best quarterback in the division? I mean, if you want to base what have you done for me lately and base the numbers, Derek Carr, his numbers were better last year. And again, we think that, you know, with Russell Wilson, they were certainly on a trend knowing he was probably, I'm guessing they knew he was going to be gone. So they stopped kind of building around the guy over the last year or whatever. But still, I mean, it's tough. If you're one of those guys that thinks Russell Wilson's flat out going to be the best quarterback in this division, I don't know if it's not the opposite. And that's not a knock. Derek Carr is, I don't know, is it why do we think it's so deceptive? It's like deceptively good. 4,800 yards, 23 touchdowns and 14 interceptions. His touchdown interception ratio is not amazing, but he is still putting up monster numbers. And now you plug in Devontae Adams to that? I'm just shocked we're not making more of a case for Derek Carr. They win in overtime against Los Angeles. They get to the wild card game and lose to the eventual Super Bowl competitors in Cincinnati. They lose 26-19. So I'm actually kind of shocked that we're not getting a little more love for Derek Carr. So you can go vote at theholeshow.com. That's the Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Who will have the better season in 2022 between AFC West quarterbacks? Justin Herbert is at 43% of the votes, where Patrick Mahomes isn't far behind him, and then Russell Wilson's way behind. Okay, so now it's 41% Herbert, 29% Mahomes, Russell Wilson sitting at 17, and Derek Carr now at 11. Okay, so I'm preaching to somebody here. Am I wrong on this, though, Jade? It's like, is Russell Wilson third, fourth best in this division? You got him at 3 better than Carr. You've got a playoff quarterback in Derek Carr, and now you give him Devontae Adams? That's just tough. Now, when I look at the Broncos, and it's Cortland Sutton, Tim Patrick, Jerry Jeudy, Javonte Williams, Melvin Gordon, and then obviously whatever they're going to do at the tight end position. Is it Albert O? Is it Greg Dulcich, who we don't know about? I'm telling you, the Broncos have the fourth best weapon list. Sutton, Patrick. Compare them to Devontae Adams and Hunter Renfrow. Who's better? Who's the better wide receiver duo in the AFC West? Keenan Allen, Mike Williams? Mecole Hardman, Juju Smith-Schuster, Marquez Valdez-Scantling? I mean, they like him. They think maybe he can do a little bit of what Tyreek Hill did for him. The Chiefs, with Travis Kelce, it does raise their level up. But as far as the receivers, receiver core, if you just want to go like 1 through 3 or whatever, it's Las Vegas, Los Angeles, Denver, Kansas City, as far as the best collective group of wide receivers / tight ends. Now, again, Travis Kelce is the best tight end in this group, but none of these receivers, I mean, Hardman had 59 receptions for 693 yards. Okay, I still like Denver's wide receiver core more than Kansas City's, but the top two weapon groups here are the Raiders and the Chargers. They have a running back that went for almost 1,000 yards. They have a tight end that caught 48 receptions with Seattle last year in Gerald Everett, 478 yards. Mike Williams was over 1,000 yards. Keenan Allen was over 1,000 yards. And Justin Herbert was 38 touchdowns, 15 interceptions, and 5,000 yards. Devontae Adams was over 1,500 yards. Again, Rodgers is throwing him the ball. Hunter Renfrow was over 1,000. And DeMarcus Robinson, third guy, but we'll see. I just think that with, like, again, Darren Waller, stud, the weapon groups are there for Derek Carr and Herb. There's potential, though. There's potential that Patrick Mahomes ends up with the fourth best year between these quarterbacks. There's potential because the weapons aren't there. And I think Tyreek Hill is a great equalizer, man. I mean, that guy can change the game in a heartbeat. That speed, agility that he has. Don't think it's going to be an easy thing to just simply overcome. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Watch out there. Storms going crazy throughout northern Colorado. Weldon Irma, you're hearing the reports. So just be careful. And we'll do our best to keep you updated with our EAS reports throughout the day. 48 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Live from the Allo Communications Studios.
Want sports from the coach? Tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
You know this song, I Stand Alone? Is this Oregon State's theme now in the Pac-12? Oh, the last one left. I guess we win it. I guess we win the Pac-12. We're one of only four teams left, so that works. We get the title. Welcome back to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Go ahead and vote. I'd love to see your thoughts after this one, the Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Who will have the better season in 2022 between AFC West quarterbacks? Herbert, Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Derek Carr. And again, I do think that it's conceivable that Russell Wilson and or Patrick Mahomes come in at the bottom of this group. I think that the Raiders are going to be scary on offense. I don't know how good their defense is going to be. And I haven't broken into that just yet. But I haven't broken into the offensive lines and everything just yet for these teams. But I do think that when you just look at the offensive weapons for the Chargers and the Raiders, they collectively have the best group in there. The Chiefs have the best tight end. You could make a case that the Broncos have the best running back, or maybe duo. But I think when you go from wide receiver, tight end, running back, all three of those positions, both the Chargers and the Raiders are winning on that side of it. It'd be a fun way to break down the division and the players to who has the best quarterback, who has the best running back, who's the best receiver. That'll be fun. Well, as we get closer to training camp, we're in the month of training camp, Jades. It's just not that far away. We do have other stuff to get to. Of course, college football scene is nuts. Are the Nuggets done in the offseason? So much to talk about. Media days in the Big Sky, Pac-12, Mountain West Conference are coming up as well. So we hit it here on The Whole Show. Not just NFL and NBA and MLB and NHL. It's college sports. And as we know, maybe college sports as we know it will be changed forever. That's going to do it for us. Stay tuned for Betting Across America. We got Rockies and Dodgers on tonight. Good night, Northern Colorado.